We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe. Instigators, presented by Dent Concussion Center.
Yeah, and Marty Biron's here. And Marty, I'm scrolling through Twitter.
Yes.
And I'm scoping out our who we could potentially be playing on Sunday, because we're playing in that 11-day power play game on Sunday. We're doing the final shift from 3 to 6 p.m. If you're not aware, Instigators, Andrew Peters, Marty Biron in for Craig Rive, who's sending us nice postcards, by the way.
Very beautiful, nice
postcards, nice hangnails and everything, and in his pictures with the Birkenstocks on the lake. But Craig's away. Instigators, as I mentioned, we're on WGR 550 and MSG. And if you're not aware, last year the 11-day power play raised 1.54, somewhere in there, well over 1.2. 1 million was their goal.
Yeah,
they raised, maybe it was around 1.2, but the point is they raised 40 guys went into this arena last year for 11 straight days. They didn't leave.
They weren't allowed to leave. It was a Guinness World Record.
They were going for the Guinness Book of World Record, and Mike and Amy Lezikowski has brought that charity game back, but it's 11 days, but it's multiple teams. I think there's 1,500 different players and 100 different teams.
It's been great to see on Twitter and on social media the pictures. Like, everybody's posting pictures of before their shifts. I saw Les Kuntar
with his kid, yeah.
With Cam. So Cam,
well, you
was
know
in
them, right?
Les,
I know, we know Les and I know Les family, from, but I don't know Cam that well. But you know them from goaltending and stuff.
Absolutely. So it was kind of cool to see, a father and son kind of changing place in the nets.
And if you see the picture of Les standing in net and his son standing in net, they look the exact same way. It's great. I mean, that's the way it should be, like father, like son. So if you're not busy or you want to get out of the heat, go down to the Harbor Center. If you're walking around down in the harbor front there, there's nonstop hockey going on around the clock. So if you're leaving the bar at 4 a.m., head on over there and root on. They'll take some rowdy rooting going on from some people coming in from the bar. They did last year. I guess one of the bars rolled over. They brought everybody. They shut down. They did last call. They're like, we're all going over to the 11-day power play. And like 200 people from the bar
showed up
at 3:30 in the morning to root on the guys. And you can imagine, right? I remember talking to the guys. They were saying, what a boost. Because you're sitting there, you're doing the dog hour shift. And everybody had to do it. And the way they had it worked out, they rotated goaltenders. So each player had to play goalie. Even if you weren't a goalie, you had to do a shift in net. And they just said, it's amazing. People rolled in at 4 o'clock. You're halfway through a shift. You're bagged tired. Your eyes are closing. Your legs are seizing up. 200 people show up to cheer you on.
You're only thinking of the 12 guys or 15 guys, maybe. I don't remember how they did the shifts, but they didn't all partake in all the
shifts.
No,
right, they're not 40 guys going 11 straight days.
No, you're thinking of the 16
or
18.
Five or six guys.
Yeah, they had plus the goalie. So you had six guys on the ice and maybe one or two changed.
Right.
So let's say you had 14, 16 guys on the ice, doing the shifts. You're only thinking of those. You're not thinking of the other 25 guys that are trying to sleep. And at 4 a.m. walks in a bunch of rowdy guys just to make it fun. So
it was pretty amazing. Their bunkers too. Like, did you see what they had? You did the whole tour,
the mattresses,
right?
Mattresses and all God.
The sleeping arrangements. Those guys are unbelievable. They did it for cancer, and it's going
but this
on.
This year, the fun thing is, like, if let's say you have Thursday's shift from midnight to 4 a.m., it's a fun thing to get up for. So you'll go to bed at right after dinner. You'll wake up at 10. You'll drive down. you'll have, you know, your time with your buddies, and it's a completely different atmosphere. To do it in the middle of the night or do it in the middle of the day, I want to say that the idea to continue the 11-day power play but change the format to have all these teams and all these people involved is amazing.
Mike basically said, he's like, let's open it up to the community. You don't always have to, you know,
girls team,
grind down
team,
40 guys
team,
and do it
team.
For the Guinness Book of World Record. You can just do it for a great cause. And I know they've already raised, I believe, they have raised over another $1 million already.
They're already there, yeah.
And it goes until Sunday. And I'm proud to say that I'll play. I ref the first shift. I was terrible at officiating, so I guess that's par for the course worldwide. And we are playing on Sunday from 3 to 6. Myself,
so,
I don't
Pat
know.
Coletta, Pat Coletta, me, you, your brother.
Yep.
I want to say Michael Pekka is in there as well.
Maddie Ellis,
maybe.
I believe.
Cody McCormick.
I think Cody McCormick. I know Alex Tuck is doing everything he can to get in for the game to come and help out and play that shift.
There's going to be a few Buffalo Buttes. On top of it as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a great team that's going to be put together. I can't wait. I just texted George Babcock yesterday. I said, hey, are you going to be around the next couple of days? I need to come in and get some equipment because I'm playing Sunday. So,
do you not have any gear?
I have skates. I have, maybe a blocker and a glove that's old.
I have one of your old catchers if you want to use it.
Exactly. But I have pants. I have Buffalo Sabres pants that I got from the Sabres. And last year I played an alumni game in Toronto, and I borrowed some old Chad Johnson gear that they had in the back room because it was about the same size and it worked out. So, so I'm going to go borrow some equipment again.
All right, Marty. So we're playing. That is Sunday, 3 to 6. Come check it out. It's at the Harbor Center, Rudison. And more importantly, support the cause. And if you go to Twitter, you can, or I'm sure Facebook too. I don't have Facebook, but I'm sure you go to any of the social media platforms and you'll find 11-day power play. And there is a number that you can text, or you can follow Mike Lezakowski and get all the information. You can donate $11 just from text messaging. So that's going on, and there's a lot of other stuff going on around the world of hockey. And one of the conversation pieces is Max Pacioretty,
yes,
Marty Biron, as we sit here on the Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG and think, would he look good in a Sabres uniform?
No.
For 1 year rental? Because they got to think about the odds of him re-signing.
Okay. Let's forget the 1 year rental thing. Because the Montreal Canadiens are not trading away Max Pacioretty at the price that should be a 1 year rental. They're trading him knowing that, like,
as if he's a long-term player.
As if, like, you're getting a player that you'll want for long-term. This is not a acquisition at the trade deadline, and then you say, okay, well, here's the deal. We're going to give you a conditional second-round pick. If we are able to re-sign Matt Pacioretty, we will change that to a first-rounder. No, when you make a trade in the summer, you're making the trade looking at the bigger picture, especially for the Montreal Canadiens. A lot of time, like the rumors at the drafts were that Montreal had a deal in place with the Los Angeles Kings. They gave Max Pacioretty and his then agent, Pat Brisson, the opportunity to negotiate an extension with the LA Kings. That extension did not come to fruition, and the deal fell through. So a lot of times in the summer like this, just like an Eric Karlsson trade, a Max Pacioretty trade, would have an extension added to it. So you would say, if you're the Sabres, you'd call Montreal, hey, we'd like to talk to Pacioretty, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then you would contact Pacioretty's agent and say, okay, we have this deal in place, but let's work on an extension to make the deal happen. If it doesn't happen, it's not. So, listen, you're going to be paying a ton to try to get Pacioretty, especially now, because there's not a lot of options out there to acquire a player like
Pacioretty. What are you paying? Like, what's a ton?
Well, number one, you're paying him a ton of dollars because he's taking $7 or $8 million a year.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So, would Jason Botterill consider bringing him in here on a rental? And here's the reason why. Because if you're trying to completely reface this team, revamp this team, you want to give the fan base something to be excited about. You want them to be competitive throughout the year. Yep. You know, you want to maybe be in the hunt past Christmas. You know, the Sabres were out by November last year, by Thanksgiving. You know, everything was, you know, we weren't very thankful. And here yeah. we are. Here we are. You have an opportunity, maybe. I don't know how serious of an opportunity or chance you have to land this player, but he can really bolster your team. And you look at the signings they've already made. That is the player that you would need to bring in to play alongside with Jack Eichel. That would shift everybody down, Sherry down,
Sabotka down,
Wilson down.
And the reason is because I bet you that the Montreal Canadiens and the Sabres had to be in some contract talks regarding Ryan O'Reilly.
So are you saying that if push came to shove and you had an option on the table for Sherry or Pacioretty, you would have taken Sherry?
I'm not saying that.
I might have, by the way, because of the situation. Because
I'm
of
not
the
saying
situation.
That. I'm just saying that the price to get Sherry was not the price to
not
get Pacioretty.
It was that worst case scenario. It's a third rounder.
Yeah, and the price to keep Sherry long term is not the price to keep Pacioretty long term.
Right.
But I think if you were willing to trade Ryan O'Reilly to the Montreal Canadiens and acquire a Max Pacioretty in return as a package of whatever return you were going to get, then I'm okay with that because you've made the big move. The Sabres have made the big move going to get Berglund, Sabaka, Tage Thompson, a first and a second. Then great. Then forget about Pacioretty. He's not going to factor into this lineup. And what do you have to trade now? Prospects? Picks? No, I don't want to trade those that value for a Max Pacioretty, a guy that is going to want $7-8 million a year on a long-term contract who's 29 years old. You know, and really what he's shown me is strength of character and all of that the last few years. I'm questioning it a little bit.
Did you ever fire an agent?
Yes.
Okay, so answer this to me. Pacioretty, as you know, was with Pat Brisson and now is with Alan Walsh. Why does a player in this situation, and I mean, I can speculate, I can come up with my own thoughts, but I mean, I'm asking you, like, you fired an agent while you were during your NHL career?
Yes.
So what happens? Where does that turn, and why would Pacioretty say, all right, Brisson, who, by the way, Pat Brisson represents some of the biggest
of the
names
top.
In
CAA and LA.
I wouldn't say he's
the
best
John
agent.
Tavares.
I would say he represents some of the biggest names, no, which I don't necessarily one means the other. But
okay, so for me, it was I had the same agent for 15 years. I was 16 years old when an agent from back home from Montreal, Gilles Loupien, former Montreal Canadiens player, reached out to my parents. It was the year before I was going to turn to be a junior player. It was a couple years before my NHL draft. A year and a half before my NHL draft. Anyway, so I had the same agent for 15 years. The way it ended in Philadelphia, where apparently the Flyers had made a somewhat of a very low contract offer that we had not communicated. It wasn't presented to me. It didn't go well.
There was an offer made by a team, and it wasn't presented to you by your representation?
It was maybe presented. But
Craig's not here, but I'll steal a saying, fired.
Wow, exactly. So it did not end well. I don't know that we would say it wasn't presented, but when we were talking, like if you think you're going to get a $5 million offer and the offer is $3 million, you're kind of like, well, no, like that's not going to work and we're going to look at other options. But I'm just saying the communication wasn't there. And it had been a few years where the communication was rough and the priority had switched both on my end and on his end and whatever. So we just decided, you know, I called him after that and I said, you know, I'm going to make a change. I don't know where, I don't know how, but I feel that we've come to the end of the road. 15 years, hey, it's great. 15 years. We can move both our ways, and it's fine. So now I had to make a decision, so I called two guys. I called Chris Drury and Danny Briere, and I said, what are you guys' agent? I have to find a guy quickly. The draft is next week, and July 1 is the week after, and I have to have a guy representing me by then. Danny Briere's agent was Pat Brisson in L.A. You just talked about him. Chris Drury's agent was Mark Whitkin, and Peter Fish, who represents Jack Eichel now in Boston. So I interviewed both of them, and I decided to go with Mark and Peter in Boston, which was a great move, and they were great for me. And so that's what I did. With Pacioretty, it's completely different. I find that Pacioretty maybe overvalues himself because he's been such a bargain of late that he's putting him in a situation like, oh, I should have been making $6.5 million, $7 million the last few years, and I'm making, what is he making, $5 million? Like, I mean, it's a lower number. So when the trade between LA and Montreal was potentially made, Pat Brisson got the best deal he could get as an extension with LA, presented it to his client, and said, hey, listen, this is the deal, great deal. I think we should go.
And how much was it?
I don't know exactly.
Was it like 8 million? Was it 8? No, it wasn't quite that much.
No, it wasn't quite that much. It may have been a 6-year or 7-year deal at 6.5 or whatnot.
I want to say I saw 7 years maybe.
Maybe, but it, regardless, the numbers don't matter at that point because the agent said, that's the best deal I'm going to get for you. I think you should take it. And the player says, no, I want more. Well, okay, I can't get you more, you know. And the idea in the situation is just like, look, you're asking me to do something I can't do for you. I think this is the best deal you could get. I'm looking at the marketplace. I think this is exactly where you should be. It's getting you out of Montreal. It's putting you in LA. It's getting you the money. It's doing all of these things. And the player says, no, I want different, so I think we should part ways. That's simple as that. It wasn't like, you screwed me over, you didn't pay my taxes, or you stole money from me. It was just a difference of opinion in the marketplace with a guy like Max Pacioretty.
Well, then Max Pacioretty is delusional.
Well, then he goes to Alan Walsh, right? And Octagon is
I wouldn't pay Max Pacioretty more than that. I know
Octagon is not, a big agency as well. And Alan Walsh has been an outspoken agent. Very smart guy, but he's represented players like Marc-Andre Fleury, I believe. Derek Brassard. There's been a lot of players that have been.
He's been very vocal for a long time.
But that's the thing. He's on Twitter. He's against the union. He's on Twitter, basically, putting stats out there. Say, hey, he was representing Yaroslav Halak, right? And he kept saying like, Halak's numbers are this and that when he was in a competition with Carey Price. So Alan Walsh is kind of the guy that stirs it up a little bit, that likes to murky the waters and get himself in the spotlight, taking some heat away from his player. And I think that's what maybe Pacioretty was looking for, is finally get some of those bright spotlight off of me and get an agent that's going to do all the dirty work.
Just get out of Montreal and it'll start right there.
Well, here's the work now. Is Pacioretty, we were told at the draft by some French medias that Pacioretty had played his last game with the Montreal Canadiens, that it was done. He was never going to return to Montreal to play. Then there was some rumors that, oh, maybe they should sign an extension on Pacioretty and keep him around. Now it's gone back 180 degrees the other way. It sure looks like Pacioretty will be out of Montreal. Do I want him there in Buffalo? No. We made the moves that we made, and it's perfect for me. And really, I think Pacioretty shot himself in the foot. So LA went and got Kovalchuk after Pacioretty deal fell through. Where is Pacioretty going to go now? St. Louis got Ryan O'Reilly, and they just got Pat Maroon. Winnipeg doesn't have the money for Pacioretty. The only team that I can see Pacioretty go to is the New York Islanders. And so you're going to want to go to the New York Islanders? The only reason why...
Why would the New York Islanders want him?
Because he's a boy from Long Island.
Well, okay, but I mean, what's their main goal?
Plus, he's a goal scorer. He's a guy that could play with Barzal, could find some chemistry right there. There's a lot of different reasons. He's a good hockey player, and you definitely have to have good hockey players.
Well, for me, it's like if you wanted to go to the Islanders, it'd be like, why would Plekanec want to go back to Montreal?
Well, Plekanec is like 3 games away from playing 1,000 games in the Montreal Canadiens uniform. He was basically, it was an agreement.
Just
like, I'll trade you
mediocre
to Toronto, and then I'll come back. Oh, it's the end of his career. He has one more year.
But could he be a rental?
It's Brian Gionta coming to Buffalo.
Well, Pominville has 13 games to hit 1,000
here in Buffalo. Plekanec going to Montreal is Brian Gionta coming to Buffalo, Pominville coming back.
Yeah, I was just asking the question.
Same
you don't have to jump down my throat about it, man.
It's Andrew Peters, moving back to Buffalo.
Yeah, to play his 230th game. Instigators, Andrew Peters. No Craig Rivet, Martin Biron here to my left on WGR 550 and MSG. We're just talking about Pacioretty because, you know, right now he's the biggest name, I think, circulating out there in trade talks. And I think, I don't know if Buffalo would be in on him. I don't know. I don't know that they need him right now. I guess my question is, what would the price be? Let's say that Bottrell did want him. Let's say, because let's be honest, I'll be the first one to tell you, I would love to see what Pacioretty could do on a line with Jack. If Max Pacioretty were to squeeze in on a line with Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart, he gets 30 goals next year. He gets 30 goals. He has had 30 goals minus last year, 1, 2, 3, 4 straight seasons.
Of 30 goals.
He had the lockout year where he had 15 goals in 44 games. Could have got 30 that year. Had 33 the year before that in 79 and had 14 the year before that going all the way back to 10-11 in 37 games.
We're talking 8 years ago was the, other than last season, 7 years ago was the last time he did not score 30 in a full season.
Yeah.
So he's a goal scorer. Okay, who did the Montreal Canadiens give up to acquire Jonathan Drouin?
Sergachev.
So what would the Montreal Canadiens like to have in return, especially since Shea Weber is out for 6 months?
A D-man. So what kind of a D-man? Because I'm not. Now you know we're talking Sabres.
You know what they're asking for.
Well, Gouley.
Gouley.
That's a no. That's a hard no. I'll settle for McCabe. Would you think they'd want a D?
They would want a D for sure. Would they?
If the Sabres have one area where they have some currency, it would be in defense. But I wouldn't want to part ways with Gouley.
But with McCabe, you have to add something significant alongside. Is that Alex Nylander?
Well, that was what the discussion was. You know, before, we were talking about that before the show was, where does Bottrell value Nylander? And you know, that would be a guy that I would say the Montreal Canadiens would want.
They would. I don't know if they would, because you know what? They got Max Domi. They got Jonathan Drouin. Okay. They got all these young kind of guys that you're not 100% sure what you've got. And then you add Nylander on it, on top of it.
Well, how much more than a
they
Jake
need
McCabe,
a center?
How much more than Jake McCabe can you give? I mean, would they want? I mean, it's weird just sitting here talking about negotiating players. I don't think Bailey Baptiste play any role in that trade. I don't think Larson does. I don't think Gergensen does. That's the only issue for me.
And I don't think that the Sabres really have the currency.
Do you think they would want Samuelson that they drafted in the second round, 6'5" defenseman?
It's a second round project right now. I mean, the Canadians had three second round picks last year.
Still a second round project.
Oh well, Brendan Gouley's
only played 70 games pro.
I understand that, but Brendan Gouley is way ahead of what you would see second rounders. He's considered to me a first round talent and a first round prospect right now. He's an AA+ prospect. Brendan Gouley is a little bit what Ryan McDonagh was to the Montreal Canadiens when they traded him away to the Rangers in the Scott Gomez trade. He's a little bit of what Sergachev was when the Canadiens traded him away. So the Canadiens keep trading away these young prospect defensemen and they keep regretting it. And so now if they're going to make that deal with Pacioretty, they're going to want a young prospect defenseman. They got nobody, but they got Alsner, they got Jordy Benn, they got Victor Mete, they got Shea Weber. They don't have the up and coming. Their D are all 29, 30, 31, 32 years old and plus. There's a couple of prospects on defense. Mete is one of them that is a young guy, but they have a very aging group of defensemen.
At their prospects right now. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 D in the minors or just that are signed. I can't even pronounce any of their names.
Okay, but look at their defense, okay? Shea Weber, 32. Brett, Jeff Petrie, 30. Cole Osner's 29, but they'll be 30 in September. David Schlemko, 31. Jordy Benn, 30. I just named you five defensemen.
How's that Jeff Petrie deal looking?
Absolutely awful at $5.5 million a year for 3 more years.
When do you sign that
with
deal?
A modified like, no-trade clause, no-movement clause. I mean, so you got five guys.
Boy, they really
over
wanted
30
him,
years
Marty.
Old.
They really went after Petrie that year.
They just signed that Xavier Ouellette who played with the Detroit Red Wings last
year.
So
is there, I guess, so here's my question then. If they were to take a shot at Pacioretty, and you know you're going to lose him and he's a rental, don't you try to get something back? If you're going to maybe part ways with a prospect of Gouley's magnitude, I'm not going to say it's Gouley, don't you ask for maybe something a little more? I mean, they have a few pieces there that you might be able to...
Would you do this?
They really
let me
don't
ask
have
you
much,
this.
Eh?
They don't have much. Montreal Canadiens are like in trouble. But would you do this? So you say to the Canadiens, okay, we work a deal. But just to make it fun, to make it interesting, I will trade you our first round pick next year for your first round pick next year. Let's bet on who's going to be better or who's going
to
be worse.
I don't need to bet on that.
Canadians are going to be way worse.
I think the Canadians are going to be way worse. I think that I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Sabres are going to be rushing for a wild card spot, but I'll tell you what, we're not going to see the nearly the same product that we had on the ice last year.
Absolutely not. You guys got the depth, you got the, and it helps Phil Housley. We talked about it the other day. It helps Phil Housley being able to do certain things with his roster. I think Pacioretty, to me, doesn't fit what I would want the Buffalo Sabres to look like. He's not a guy that really shows a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of heart. Everybody has a lot of heart, but he doesn't have that much of a heartbeat.
He doesn't have any fire. He doesn't look like he ever gets worked up.
It's like through the motion, and it's like, okay, I score goals. It's great. And there's a little bit of a
burst. He plays like he speaks. Like he just sounds monotone. He plays monotone. He sounds monotone. That's just how I would describe his play.
He's a great hockey player.
He's a finisher. He's not a great hockey player. He's a
finisher. No, he's a great hockey player, okay. But I just, no, it's not for my cup of tea. Simple as that. And it may be
that. You're more cream and sugar in your tea?
I don't drink tea. Milk and milk? I don't drink tea or coffee, so that's why I'm saying that. He's not my cup of tea. No, if you had told me, okay, I can trade Ryan O'Reilly to Canadians, I'm going to get Pacioretty, and then maybe get... a package of a first rounder or something like that, I would have been intrigued because, yes, you're looking at maybe putting Pacioretty on the left side with Jack Eichel, and hopefully Pacioretty scores 35 or 40 goals.
I'm not going to lie to you. I would rather have the deal from St. Louis.
Exactly what I'm saying. Connor Sheary and the deal from St. Louis.
You're not getting a scorer like Pacioretty, but, man, you're getting a good centerman in Berglund. Yeah. A very good, sound defenseman. I've always been a Berglund fan. And Sobotka, I mean...
A defensive forward, yeah.
But you've also... Yeah, but right. But you need those guys.
On top of that, you got the Connor Sheary deal. So you got Connor Sheary and the return from St. Louis. To me, that outweighs whatever...
first-round pick.
Whatever you were going to get from Montreal, that is way better.
Colby Murdy. Here's one thing I didn't even mention. It's summertime, but Jeremy Roenick is going to join us here in a few moments. So stick around for that. We're going to ask him about everything that's happened in the offseason because we were off... all last week. We will ask him about the Erik Karlsson trade, Colby, as you tweeted in asking what's going on with Erik Karlsson. Jim tweets in, you don't think a second-round pick and McCabe gets you Max Pacioretty? Question mark.
Marty? I'm answering that right now.
Okay, well, stick around and we'll read your answer when we return on the other side of the break. See what I did there? And guess what else we have?
You're teasing.
JR. Coming up next, the legendary Jeremy Roenick right here with us, Marty and Andrew. WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG, the Instigators. All right, we're not going to wait. We're not going to waste any time.
We're not going to wait either.
We're not going to waste any time here introducing our next guest. We're just going to tell you JR is on the line. Jeremy Roenick joining the Instigators in the offseason. Legendary. Can't thank you enough. It's you seem like you're the only guy not on vacation on Wednesday.
I don't even know. Am I on vacation? I think every day is a vacation.
Would you consider like your life to be kind of like a vacation?
Well, seeing that I'm in airports and hotels and different cities pretty much weekly, it's and then, obviously, the countries that I've been to this year alone, and I would have to say that it was pretty good assessment, buddy.
So we had
Marty
our
Baron's here today, by the way. No Craig Rive. Craig's
Rives
on vacation.
Rives is at the lake, and he's sending us postcard. It's fantastic. But JR, let me ask you. So we had our golf tournament Monday here in Buffalo with the WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament, and it made me think, like, what golf course have you played That was the first time you played it this summer, and where is your handicap at right now?
That's a good question. I'm number one. Handicaps are one right now. I'm actually in Lake Tahoe right now for the Celebrity Golf Tournament that's on NBC this weekend, the one that's probably my favorite weekend of the year. My son caddies for me. I have a big crew that comes up here that we have a blast. If you've never been to Lake Tahoe, you have to try to get up here. It is one of the most beautiful places in the world. So hopefully the game is good this year. You know, to tell you the truth, I played golf in Singapore, and I played a beautiful golf course. It was a PGA golf course where the women have one of their LPGA stops, and it was absolutely gorgeous. Overlooked the city of Singapore. It was a lot of water on the water, so it's one of those real beauties that you never think that you would play, but got a chance to play because I decided to play one day on vacation.
Well, one of my buddies just played Pebble Beach last week. Have you ever played Pebble?
I think Pebble Beach and that whole 17-mile drive is my favorite place in the world.
Now, obviously, you were in San Jose, right? So you just make a trip down and play the morning of a game.
Yeah, that's it. It's golf heaven. It's Marty. It literally, you have, you know, five or six, seven golf courses all, you know, within 17 miles of, you know, that 17-mile drive there. And it's the most beautiful landscape. The houses are beautiful. The ocean is amazing. And I played Cyprus for the first time ever last December. And it became my number one favorite golf course I've ever played. They call it the best walk in golf, and I think that's an understatement.
Well, speaking of golf, the Sabres signed a coach today who was born in Glasgow, Scotland.
Really?
You know who that might be?
I don't.
Steve Smith. You played with him.
No kidding.
Did you know
him? No kidding. Smitty's a great guy. I played with Smitty in Chicago. Fantastic guy. Very, very good coach, and very... he's a stern coach. He knows how to get to the players and knows how to really be the extra guy that guys can really turn to and ask a lot of important questions.
Well,
he's a great guy.
He's coming from Carolina, and you look at Carolina's young defense and how they've come along. I mean, you have to wonder with Rasmus Dahlin, Brendan Gooley, and some other young players here that's got to be some train of thought that goes into it.
Well, no question about it. When you have a generational player like Dahlin that's going to come in, you want to have as many guys there to help him progress and help him get, prepare and be ready to play in the National Hockey League as quick as you can. And then when he's playing, to go through the rigors of what it is. And, Steve Smith's been through the ringer many times and, he's won cups and he's lost cups and he knows how to deal with adversity. So,
I think that's a great hire. I mean, the bank off Grant Fuhr's heel alone. I mean, a guy that can emotionally come back from that speaks volumes about somebody's character. I mean, there
Absolutely.
Are a lot of guys whose tents would have folded after that, and they would have gone into hiding. What do you think about the offseason, JR? I mean, this has been unbelievable. Johnny T, all year long. I can't remember what your prediction was. Did you say he was staying or going? I know I said he was going, but I don't know that I ever really believed it.
No, I said he was going. And I thought it would be Toronto, but I didn't think I didn't really make a prediction where he would go. But I did say that he was definitely going to leave. It was I think it was just written in stone. Johnny wants to win, and I don't think Islanders did anything over the last few years to try to help him get to that point or help him win. And I think.
Think he should be criticized for leaving? Is there a question of loyalty here? Because I feel like that's what it's all anybody ever said was always loyal.
Absolutely not.
And I don't feel like this. Yeah,
absolutely not. That's what sports is about. It's about free agency. It's about being able to go where you want. It's being a good soldier. And he was a good soldier. He never complained.
No.
He
handled this year like a true professional.
He sure did. And I'll tell you what, when summers go by. And the team doesn't go out and get a player or two that can play with them. They don't get a goaltender. They continue to sputter in the standings. And John Tavares goes out and just plays. and he produces, and he's a true professional. And he played out his contract. He didn't sit out. He wasn't the, you know, he wasn't a locker room cancer. So he didn't. He doesn't owe anybody anything. He owes himself the opportunity to win.
What about the fact that he left some money on the table? Number one, he didn't take an extra year with the New York Islanders, which would have been another 11 or more on his contract. And the fact that the San Jose Sharks reportedly offered him $91 million for a seven-year deal, which is $14 million more than what the Toronto Maple Leaf gave him.
I think that tells you what kind of person John Tavares is. And I think it tells you what his mentality is. And he wants to go to a place where he's going to be happy. He grew up.
Speak into the phone, JR.
Yeah, he grew
there
up.
You go.
He grew up in Toronto. You know, with his favorite team is Toronto.
So let me ask you this: buy, sell, trade. He has silk Toronto Maple Leaf bed sheets in his new bed.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
like you know, maybe some cashmere ones for the wintertime. I mean, he's pulling down a decent buck, eh?
Yeah, you know, I don't think.
What
money
kind of
is,
bed sheets do millionaires have, JR? I want to know. Like, I'm curious to know. Like, what,
I don't know. I gotta ask my wife. I don't know what the thread count in my sheets.
JR is in
there.
You gotta be a couple million thread count in those bad boys, eh, JR?
Hey, listen, I can sleep anywhere. You put me in a chair. You put me anywhere. Put me in a plane. I'm sleeping. It doesn't matter to me.
We gotta find out what kind of bed sheets Johnny T wears. Okay, so here's a question for you. We talked about a little bit yesterday. Are they going to name him captain?
Wow, good question.
Because what happens if it kind of seems like they had no captain for a couple years? They brought in Marlowe, kind of thought that might have been a no-brainer. It felt like maybe they were waiting for Matthews to be mature, but were they really waiting for Johnny T? Because you can't name Matthews captain over Johnny T.
No, I think that's a great point, and I think if I was a betting man, which I am, I think that they would definitely make him captain. I mean, he's been captain of the Islanders for so long; he knows how to do it. He's one of the best captains in the game. I would have to say that yes, that he will become their captain this year.
So
because that team does need a guy with the C on his chest.
Yeah, but do you think that would rub a guy like Matthews the wrong way? Marlowe doesn't. You know Pat Marlowe. He doesn't care. He's there to win, and he wants to be a leader without a letter. But would that ruffle feathers for a guy like Matthews, who's probably going to be here for the next 9 years anyway?
Absolutely not. Have you ever talked to Austin? Or you know,
no. My last name's Peters, not Roenick. I don't get to talk to these guys.
Well, he is—he's one of the most respectful, soft-spoken, humble kids, and he wants to win. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what letter is on his sweater. He cares about how many cups he's going to win, how many wins his team has. So he could care less if he was. I think he could care less who's the captain. I mean, I'm sure he's one of the happiest guys in hockey having John Tavares on his team.
All right, no captain, but they'll pay him more. That sounds like probably a better deal. Let me ask you this. Did you check out the Ryan O'Reilly trade? What did you think about that
one? A
lot of speculation around that one finally came through, and curious your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I know it's kind of surprised me, to tell you the truth, but I think Buffalo got a really good shipment back in return for Ryan O'Reilly. Did they not?
I think so.
Between draft picks, some younger players. I was really surprised that St. Louis gave up as much as they did for Ryan O'Reilly. And I love Ryan. I think he's great, but he had a tough year last year. But I think Buffalo really, really made out really well there with that trade, getting some quality players and some draft picks that they can improve on.
You've obviously done a lot of national coverage with NBC, and a player that's intriguing to me is obviously Vladimir Zobalka, because I think that there was so much hype with him before he left in a contract dispute to go back to the KHL, and he fell out of favor with St. Louis. What do you think he can bring to the Sabres, and what have you seen from him on the ice?
I really like watching him. He's a very underrated player. He's a great skater. He's a very good stick handler. He's elusive, and he's really strong, Marty. He played in the playoffs 2 years ago. And was one of the better players in the playoffs after coming back.
Yep.
I guess right when he came back. And he was so noticeable that, I said something every single game. I said, God, this Sabokas, this guy is good with the puck, scored some big goals. So So I think that he's going to be a really good addition to the team. I really, really like that kid a lot.
What about Berglund?
You know, Berglund is a heart and soul kind of guy. You know, he's the guy that digs. He's the guy that works. He's the plumber. He's the guy. He's not going to fill up the net for you, but he's the workhorses that you need to win games. He will frustrate other teams' top players, and he'll make it tougher to play against. And big strong guy. I like Berglund.
Swedes are taking over the game. Rasmus Dahlin said that right here on our show, JR.
Well, it's having more Swedes when you have a generational player make that kid feel as comfortable as he possibly can. It's only going to help for his, for his transition and his development.
Who's the best Swede you've ever played with?
With?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
How about, did you ever play with Christian Ruutu? Is he Swedish?
I did play with Christian Ruutu. He was traded. He was traded for Dominik Hasek back in the early 90s. So he came over,
yeah.
And during his prime.
He's finished though.
Is he?
Yeah, I thought he was. Yeah, I thought he was a Swede. I should have known that because the other Ruutu bit my thumb. He was a Swede.
You know, I played with a defenseman, Marcus Ragnarsson, who yeah. I think is a fantastic guy, really strong, solid defenseman. Kim Johansson, again, another Swede. I played with more defensive Swedes than offensive Swedes.
Magnusson. Why does that name ring a bell?
Marcus Ragnarsson.
Yeah.
Big solid defensive. Kind of reminds you of Ribs a little bit, but.
More skill?
The way they play.
I'm just joking. Ribs isn't
same
here.
Heart.
Ribs
same
isn't.
Heart.
Hey.
Same heart.
You know what? I throw that joke out there. Craig Rivet was extremely skilled.
He was.
Yeah, absolutely. The key word there being was. JR, it's 7-Eleven day. You know what that means? Slurpees are free at 7-Eleven. Are you going to head over and grab one?
I don't think I've had a 7-Eleven Slurpee since I was 7.
Marty and I are going to go. So we're going to do this thing called the Summer Six Pack, where we got to pick our six best things that you can buy at 7-Eleven. What's the one thing, if you're rolling into 7-Eleven, what is it going to be? What are you getting?
I'm getting a Red Bull. There's no question I'm going to get a Red Bull. Yeah,
night before, JR?
Yes, exactly.
Lack of sleep. I love it.
So listen, I got a little piece of little trick for you. So when you're drinking those Slurpees and you get your brain freeze,
yeah.
Okay, you know how to get rid of brain freeze really quick?
So let me, do you roll the tongue to your back of your mouth and just press on? No?
Nope.
Pinch your hand right in between your thumb and your index finger, like, and squeeze it as hard as you can. It hurts like a mother, but your brain freeze will go away right away.
I did that.
My kids always say you're supposed to put your thumb to the roof of your mouth and just press.
Well, I see. Here's the thing. There's all these legends,
urban
right?
Urban legends.
I was told, and it's always worked for me, it took about 5 minutes, which means it probably wasn't working. But you roll it back, and you're getting the brain freeze because the nerve at the back of your mouth gets extremely cold, so your tongue will warm it up, and it goes away faster.
I'll try that one when I get my Slurpee.
When you get your next brain freeze.
When you drink your Red Bull too quick and you have a brain freeze, yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah, what size Red Bull are you getting? 2 liter?
I'm gonna get the first one that gets in my hand. I don't care what it is; it's gonna go just as fast.
All right,
it's an IV.
Yeah.
Mix in a water, an ibuprofen, and a Pedialyte. You'll feel even better.
Done.
Yourself a wonderful round of golf. We'll be watching for you. Tell everybody what you're doing again this weekend.
Playing in the American Century Flavored Golf Tournament. That's on Lake Tahoe. It's on Golf Channel on Friday, and NBC Saturday and Sunday. So hopefully you'll see me in the last group.
It's a great event, and it's fun to watch because you get to see some athletes that are not known for golfing, but they can really golf. So celebrities there too, usually, right?
Yeah, for sure. Lots of them. Yeah, it's about 90 celebrities here this weekend. It'll be about 100,000 people walking around the
golf course. Most famous person there? Michael Jordan there?
Justin Timberlake?
He's not. It's Charles Barkley's here. We have just... Steph Curry's playing.
Is Justin Timberlake playing this year?
He's not playing. He's on tour. This is the first year he hasn't played in the last couple of years. He's on tour. He's not too happy about it.
When you see Chuck Barkley, and I only call him Chuck because you know him, you tell him the Instigators want to talk to him about hockey.
I know. We'll get Trust me, it'll happen. It will happen.
It would be unbelievable. JR, you were unbelievable today. Thank you so much for your time, especially in the off season. We know everybody shuts their phones down. We appreciate the loyalty, man.
Thanks, buddy. See you guys.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later. Jeremy Rona, kind enough to join us as always here on Wednesday, even in the summertime. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, Marty, what do we got? You got a little...
We'll do our six packs. We may do this or that.
I got a six pack here.
Sabres by the sweaters. We have a bunch of different things for second hours here.
I got like 20 things on my 7-Eleven list, and I got to narrow it down to six.
Okay.
Pack of smokes is going to be X'd out. I don't think that's one that we're going to get.
No, you don't want that.
No, but you know what I am going to get there?
I do have alcohol.
You know what I am going to get there, Marty? I got a 7-Eleven story. It happened the other day. Okay. I went in, and I'll tell you when I came back. Drove me absolutely nuts. We'll talk to you about that. When we come back, we got our diss or dat and a whole other hour of the Instigators. Marty, Andrew, WGR 550, and MSG. We'll be right back.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Welcome back to the Instigators, everybody. You just had Jeremy Roenick on, and he was fantastic. Headed over to Lake Tahoe to play in that Celebrity Golf Classic, which is filled with entertainment people, athletes. It's a great event, so catch it on the Golf Channel or on NBC, I believe he said, over the weekend. So we'll see if JR... We should have sent him an Instigator golf shirt to wear on...
He definitely, I got to tell you, those golf shirts are like gold, and there's a lot of people out there that want them, especially after yesterday. I know you got to do this, but he deserves one. He's earned one.
But now we're going to do this or that because, I mean, last night was such a good TV night last night.
What happened?
I put it on Twitter, right? Because the Mighty Ducks were playing on CMT and Youngblood was playing on the NHL Network, as you are leaking on your chair right now. But anyway, so I put a diss or dat on Twitter last night, and I said, you know, tonight the Mighty Ducks and Youngblood are both on TV at the same time. Which one would you watch, diss or dat? I said, quack, 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 or go Mustangs go, Petey.
Go Mustangs go.
Go Mustangs go?
Yeah.
I would say go Mustangs go as well.
Unless I'm getting a date with Charlie's mom.
Oh, that works at the diner.
Yeah, but what's his last name? Charlie Burrow. No, Bob.
He's there. Like, he's on the poster that we have. Conley.
Charlie Conley.
I don't know.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Banks. Banks is the player.
No, Banks is the big-time player.
Banks is the Hawks player that came over and got crushed into the net by his buddy, his former teammate. Anyway, so 64%.
No sense winning
if you can't win big. Listen, 64% of people on Twitter said quack, 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 and only 36% said go Mustangs go.
What's the age demographic?
Well, I mean, that's our people. There's a lot of young people out there on Twitter. And so
anybody under the age of 20 who follows you is voting for quack, quack, quack.
So you're
anybody
going young
cool
blood.
And over the age of 25 is going to be like young blood all day long.
Keanu Reeves, Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, you've got the whole Rocky. I mean, that's awesome.
Okay. McGill.
Well, since we are going to stay in the young blood Mighty Ducks theme here, this or that, if you had to pull one move on a breakaway or on a shootout, would you go triple deke or would you go the hurdle?
The hurdle, a.k.a.
the Merrick Malik.
Merrick Malik.
A.k.a. Olaf Kolzig and me as victims.
Marty, you know what? I'm going to have to, I'm going to say diss dat because I think I'd probably do a triple deke and then go hurdle on you.
So you would go, like as Coach Bombay says.
I'd come in on an angle.
Have you been working on your triple deke? You know, one, two, three, triple deke. I'm like, this is about as simple as a move as you could ever get.
Just, you know, trying to teach basics to the kids.
How did the goalie not keep up with Charlie on that one?
He's too fast, man.
He's too quick.
I'd probably do both. I'd be able to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
I always do well in team shootouts.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Best or most flashy way to start your penalty shot or your shootout attempt? Dean Youngblood with the skate,
yep.
or do you remember Linus Omark that did the spinorama. At Center Ice with the Edmonton Oilers? So I'm asking you,
Charlie Conway.
You're putting your whole situation here. You've got the triple deke hurdle move. But how do you start that move? Do you go to Dean Youngblood with the skate, or do you do the Linus Omark spinorama move?
Well,
this or that?
I would probably. Oh, I mean, I, again, Dean Youngblood's a legend, and, you know, Allmark is, you know, nothing even close to a legend, but a very good shootout guy. I'm going to go with the skate, Marty.
You're just standing at center ice, you're doing the half turn, and
just
you're coming back
it,
with
kick
your skate.
Kick it forward. You know why? Because I'm fearful that if I were to try the spin, I'd lose an edge, then you're done.
Then you lose the puck, and you're done.
You're done.
Okay, so now you've put your whole shootout together. So you're coming in, Dean Youngblood, pick it up with the skate. You're at the blue line, you do your triple deke move, and as you get close, you do the hurdle. And what's the result?
Over the net. Without question.
So you lose the game. Okay, let's focus on hockey. Last one quickly. Pat Maroon signed with the St. Louis Blues, a one-year, $1.7 million contract, I believe. There's a couple of players on the Edmonton Oilers that were very similar. Pat Maroon and Milan Lucic. Mm-hmm. For the same price, and it's not fair right now to take the contract in consideration because Lucic is making $6 million, way overpaid.
Yep.
For the same price, who do you take? If you had to give a one-year, $2 million contract to Pat Maroon or Milan Lucic, which one would you pick, this or that?
Milan Lucic.
So wrong. You are so wrong.
No, that's your opinion.
Pat Maroon is way better than Milan Lucic.
That's your opinion.
And it's my this or that.
Okay. I'm going to say Lucic. Same money, I'm taking Lucic.
I just can't see it. You and I have just become worse friends.
Yeah? We're not going to be kicking holes in any pumpkins later, I guess.
No, we are not going for Slurpees at 7-Eleven.
We're not
going to
be doing
later.
Kung Fu in the garage? Is that what you're telling me? Yeah. You don't like guacamole.
Okay, well, there it is. This or that. I appreciate the 2,500 people that voted on Twitter last night.
2,500? See, that's
unbelievable.
That's what happens when you're a celebrity. I throw a poll out there. I'm lucky to get maybe one retweet, 400 votes. You... 2,500
people are
votes.
Passionate with their movie selection.
No, people just love you, Marty. That's simple as that. It's okay to admit that.
Okay,
now, this guy writes in. I said it during,
yes.
But Charlie Conway is the guy's name. Is the? It's not
Charlie Conway.
We say Connolly.
Conway.
Charlie Conway.
Charlie
Tim Connolly was the guy here that was really good with the shootouts.
And he would do all the
he could do
action
all
and all that.
Sickest hands, and I don't say sick very often, sickest hands I've ever seen on a teammate that I've
best
ever played.
Best practice player ever.
All
in
time.
In history, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
All time.
Best practice player.
Most skilled guy I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay, well, we got second hour coming up. So we got the update from PD. We got Daily Dose of Darlene. We got, buy, sell, trade. We've got Sabres by the Sweaters.
You're forgetting our six-pack. And I got a 7-Eleven story.
That's fantastic. So stick around. We'll be right back for
pet
second
peeves.
Hour.
I got pet peeves
on
every day.
On WGR 550 and MSG. Petey's pet peeves.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.